I'm going to talk a little bit about exchange, but it's this basic idea that we are to experience and we are to exchange death for life, that the Spirit, God's Spirit, is to come into us when we welcome Him, and that we are to give our helpless life for one with a greater purpose and a greater calling. And then engage. Engage being that we are to engage our campus, engage our city. We think that our ministry has a calling to help Murray State find God and to lead Murray, the city, to know God better. If you don't know where the Campus Ministry House is, it's on the corner of 14th and Olive. And if you still don't know where that's at, that's right across the Murray State gates. So we're right there. We're on the ground, ready to show Murray State's campus love and to show them who God really is. We really think that these three ideas model our ministry. There are three ideas that we try to strive for in everything that we do, so, and we hope that we accomplish that. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about exchange and what exchange really means in our life. At first, when Wes came to us, I didn't really understand this idea of exchange. It was a pretty abstract idea that we're to give death for life, that we give our life for a life filled with the Spirit, a life controlled by God, but then the more he explained it, the more he talked to us about it, like, this is us. This is us as Christians, our opportunity to welcome God into our life and to really build a relationship with him and to let his Spirit help us with our walk and to control our life, which is a pretty awesome idea. Landon read just a few minutes ago Ezekiel 37, and I'm going to read it one more time. I think that this is a pretty great story. A lot of us has heard this story. There's a song out right now by Chris Tomlin and Lecrae, and if you don't know it, go buy it. It's pretty awesome. It's called Awake My Soul, and it tells this awesome story about how Ezekiel prophesies to these bones, and these helpless bones just come to life and stand a vast army. And so I'm going to read this story one more time, and then we'll go from there. Ezekiel 37, starting in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you, and I will cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life, and then you will know that I am Lord.' So I prophesied out as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. The bones came together bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, "This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe into these slain, so that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood upon their feet, a vast army." First off, like, just looking at the story, I think this is a pretty awesome story. God's Spirit and God is speaking to Ezekiel and telling him to prophesy to these bones. First, that's kind of a crazy idea that God would come to someone and say, "Speak to these bones." And then God asks Ezekiel, "Can these bones come to life?" And Ezekiel's like, "God, you alone know that. These are dry, dead bones. Like, they can't come to life, but you alone control." And so he says, "Prophesy to them. Speak the word of the Lord into these bones." And when he does, they come to life, but there's no breath in them. And then he speaks to the breath, and he speaks to the wind, and breath enters them, and they come together and stand a great army. I think this is a pretty awesome story. I love this story. It's one of my favorites. But I really think that Ezekiel 37 really has some big implications for our life. I think that God can use us. That's one of the, I think, one of the main things from Ezekiel 37. He uses Ezekiel. He uses him to speak to these bones. And I think that that's just going to say that he can use us. Even with our faults, even with, you may think that you're not worthy to speak God's word, that you are, that you can speak and you can be God's spirit, that you can be God's example here on earth, which is a pretty great opportunity. And then that Ezekiel speaks to these dry bones, and I think that every one of us have our own dry bones, that we go to work or at Murray, we go to school, we experience people who are rejecting God, who will not let him enter their life, or who have ran away from church. I think that these are our very own dry bones, that we can speak to them and that life can enter them just like life entered the dry bones in Ezekiel 37, which is pretty awesome. We each experience exchange in our very own different way. We are witnesses to how the Spirit has entered our life. We each have a different story, and that story is something unique that we can share with each and every person we meet, each and every person that we want to help experience what we have experienced in exchange. So we have our own bones, we have our story to tell, we have a witness of exchange that we can tell them, and just this idea that exchange, we can exchange a death for life, that we can exchange our hopeless life for one with a greater calling, one with a greater purpose, which really wraps up the idea of exchange and what we as a ministry are trying to accomplish. So as we study and as we worship together, we are striving more and more to accomplish that idea of exchange, that we will allow the Spirit to enter our life and that we will understand a life of greater purpose and of greater meaning. In a second, I'm going to pray that this idea of exchange will resonate in our lives, but I just want to think about this opportunity that we have. We have this very unique opportunity to allow God to enter our lives and to allow His Spirit to work within us, to help us in everything that we do. So I think that's a pretty awesome opportunity that you can be a part of, that you can help other people be a part of. So I really hope that you grasp on to this idea of exchange. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for your Spirit and your power that you put in us every day. You're so great, and we love you so much for all that you have done for us. Thank you for this idea of exchange, where we can come to you at any time that we need, and that your Spirit can move in our life, and that the more we worship, that your Spirit will help us walk every single day. God, thank you for this church and how much it means to our campus ministry, and thank you for our ministry and how much we hopefully mean to Murray State University. We pray that we will show each other and that we will show the students on Murray State's campus what God means to us and how God can enter their lives. God, you're so great, and we thank you even in this moment, and we praise you for the power that you've put in us and the willingness to serve you and to honor you every day. God, please be with us for the rest of this service and the rest of this week, where we can constantly look to you and be powered by you and be powered by your Spirit. God, we thank you and we love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
On a good day, amen. It's an honor to serve you. You need to know that. And to the ladies, hello ladies, who don't get to participate necessarily in this context, what you do for our ministry is just as important. So thank you for what you do. Thanks for all the adults that help us. You're indispensable to our ministry. So thank you. Thanks for being here today. The rather short fellow that was just up here, we got to climb a mountain this summer together. So we went out to Colorado with our ministry, and on Summit Day, which is kind of the quintessential day. It's the day where you potentially get to about 14,000 feet. On Summit Day, we climbed for a while in the dark. Don't freak out. It was okay. But we climbed for a while in the dark, and at one point, some of our flashlights began to run out. And so for the group, we started handing around flashlights to people that would be more comfortable with a flashlight or without a flashlight. And I said, this is okay. I can be without a flashlight. You guys take mine. And so Calvin just kind of walks in front of me. And for probably 2 hours, maybe, Calvin and I walked right behind each other so that he would hold his flashlight in his right hand. And I basically would walk. Well, I didn't really have to bend over. I would walk and just look through his arm to see where we were going. And I remember on the way home, I was like, man, what kind of picture is that for the people of God? The question is, do we follow Jesus that way? Do we follow Jesus in a way that we are so close to him that the only way we can actually see is that his light's what's leading us forward? You know, there are some times when we were in Colorado where I was like, Calvin, turn the light back. I can't see. Right? But I just put my hand out and just touch him. And then he'd turn around and he'd shine the light and I'd be like, thank you. Whew. Right? But are we that close to Jesus? Are we that close to him that it's his light that we follow, not something that we've conjured or some church program? Or are we that close to Jesus that he's actually leading us to valleys, that he's actually leading us to the wilderness? You know, are we that close to Jesus that you find yourself constantly around sinners? Are we that close to Jesus that you find yourself constantly around unbelievers? Are we that close to Jesus that we find ourselves in some really weird places where the only thing we didn't know to do is to go, God, I need you to speak to these bones because I don't have a clue what to say? I think that if we are listening, if we are drawing close to God's Spirit, that God's going to lead us to places that really we don't even know where we're going. I mean, think about how this plays out with Encounter, Exchange, and Engage. Dan has hit on this idea of loving God and loving people, that Encounter's about relationships, that at some point in your life, God met you where you were. Some of us are lifers. We've been here for a long time, that before you really even knew who Jesus was, he was a part of your DNA. Others of us came into this story a lot later, that our relationship with him, our encounter with him has come much later in life. But I think so many times at that point, God meets us wherever we are, and then the more we walk with him, the more we live in relationship with him, he says, hey man, you have some things in your life, and I think we need to begin to exchange them. You see, because I have a story, and I want you to be a part of it. He says, so this thing right here in your life, I think you need to exchange this for something. And that's what Mark was getting at. This idea that when God's Spirit takes over in our life, he's going to draw us closer to Jesus. And then Jesus is going to say, hey man, we've got to handle these things. And we're going to walk in this idea of exchange. I mean, think about the imagery of the valley, of that God draws us close in relationship. So maybe we're standing at the edge of the valley and there's this imagery of these dry bones and this dust. And then God says, hey man, I want you to walk in relationship with me. Okay. And so we begin to walk. And then before long, we find ourselves in the middle of the valley, relying on the only thing that we can possibly rely on, which is God and God's Spirit that lives in us. And he begins to ask us to exchange things. And then in some way, in some fashion, most of the time, we find ourselves back standing at the edge of the valley, of the wilderness. And I think it's often at this point where Engage comes in. A lot of us who have been doing this Jesus thing for a long time, myself not included, over and over again, God leads us through things and then stands us at the edge of the valley and says, hey, you see that person over there? I need you to do this thing with them. And for me, here's where the question comes. But God, I've already been through that. I don't want to walk. I can't walk with them. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough knowledge to walk with them through that. I can't do that. I'm not exchanged enough in my life. And God says, no. I just need you to walk in the valley with them. I need you to go with them. That God's Spirit leads us to places and leads us into relationships with people where we can engage, where we can be a part of their life, and God can do things through us Because God did that for you and he did it for me. He has put people in our life that his spirit has spoken through, and those people have drawn us close to him. I love the picture you get in Acts chapter 1 when Jesus has been resurrected, right? And they're all standing there and they're like, Jesus, are you going to restore the kingdom? Is it the time? And Jesus is like, no. I need you to wait. To which most of us 21st century people are like, is that word in the dictionary? What's wait, right? We don't wait. We don't wait on anything. He says, I need you to wait. I need you to wait because I'm going to pour my spirit into you, and then you're going to be my witnesses. We challenged our ministry Wednesday night with this idea of engage and this idea of waiting on God's spirit to lead us. How many times have we gotten into a mess and then we turn around and ask God to do something? Don't we? We walk and we try, even in the church world, we walk and we try, and then all of a sudden it's like, all right, God, we've made a mess of this. Will you help us out now? And God says, hey, I put my spirit in you, so let's do this together. We challenge our ministry to spend the next month and a half really praying for the way in which God has asked us to engage. And I'm trusting that latter part of Ezekiel 37, where it says that God will restore his people, and then God's going to be the one that leads them. God's going to lead them back to their land. I'm trusting that God's going to lead us to the way in which he has asked us to engage. I heard a really encouraging statement the other day by a preacher actually talking about this idea of following Jesus and engaging. And he said this, he said, to the sinners in the room, he says, you have permission to follow Jesus with us. And to the unbelievers in the room, you have permission to follow Jesus with us. Even if you have doubts, even if you have questions, even if you're still really, really, really broken, you have permission to follow Jesus with us. And I think that's huge for the idea of engage. Here's why. We see that in the Gospels, don't we? All of Jesus' closest followers are like, wait, 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 wait. You mean that's about to happen? Why do we think that somehow we've got to come to Jesus with everything together and then we start a life with him? So here are my questions just for you, and we're done. Are we living with those type of people? Are we doing life with people who are going, I don't get this Jesus thing? Are we engaging in a way in which the only thing you know how to do is to rely on God's Spirit to help you and to walk with you every single day? Are we living in those type of relationships? Because I would argue that the longer you walk with Jesus, the more you're going to be led to places like that, and the only thing you're going to be able to do is say, God, I need you to take this. This summer, the really cool thing about when Calvin and I were walking and we're all kind of climbing this mountain is that the higher you get, you eventually get to the ridge line, which it's not like a ridge line where you're doing this thing. It's just a ridge. And so you have 20 or 30 feet sometimes less. But you have 20 or 30 feet where you're walking. And right after we got to the ridge line, we'd maybe been up there, half an hour maybe? The sun came up. Or it kind of began to came up. It came up enough to at least you could kind of see what was going on. And so there was a point where Calvin's light was no longer what I needed. I needed something else. I wonder how many times God is going to ask us to walk with people until his son comes up in their life. I wonder how many times God's going to ask us by the power of his spirit, say, hey, I need you to walk with this person. I need you to be faithful to me. And I'm going to show up in their life. So keep pressing in. Keep letting my spirit speak through you. And eventually, I'm going to show up. I think that's very powerful for us, to walk with people. So Paul talks about that. He said, man, plant the seeds, water the plants, build on the foundation of the cross, and I'll provide. We have to be that type of people when we talk about engage. Our prayer as a ministry is that God's going to lead us to the ways that we should engage. And our prayer for this church is that he would do the same. I don't know where you land in that spectrum of unbelieving, just walking in doubts and questions or addictions, or man, we do recovery and we love people in recovery. We love that idea. I don't know if you land all the way of that to maybe even someone who's been doing this for a really long time, and those dry bones are actually becoming real again because your faith is just dry. Our campus doesn't need more secure religious people. Our city doesn't need more secure religious people. Our campus and our city need spiritually resurrected Jesus people that are engaging in people's lives, walking into the valleys with them, walking into the wilderness, and allowing Jesus to show up, because he will. I want to pray a similar prayer to what Mark said. We have prayers for our ministry. We have prayers for you. This morning, I hope you've been encouraged by our students that are doing this thing in all sorts of weird ways. Ain't that right? That's right. Don't look at me like I'm dumb. Look at it. We're going to do this Jesus thing. And so I pray that as a community, as a body of believers, as a family of faith, that we will walk in this together. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to stand and sing one more song. Let's pray. God, we're humbled that you would allow us to join as your people, to gather together and to proclaim that we are yours. So God, we would pray that your spirit would be alive in us as we live in relationship with people. God, we pray that your spirit would change us and would transform us, would draw us close to you, Jesus, as we exchange things, and you hold us even when we're scared. And God, may you lead us. May you restore your people. May you lead us to the places you would have us to go. God, we love you for this church that you've given us, for this campus you've given us to serve, and for this city that needs to hear that we love you and that we love them. So Jesus, thanks again just for today and for the idea of following you. May we do it boldly. May you give us the strength we need for the moments we need it only today. It's in the name of the risen King, the whole church said.